with Canadians who are working within the construction industry and people who are migrating individuals who are non-citizens working within the construction industry, can you share some thoughts on the similarities that they face in terms of the struggles to have justice within the workplace and to have their safety and their health protected at the workplace?
Whether they have legal status or non-legal status, they both face lots of difficulties to find justice. I mean, that's just a common problem throughout the world, throughout everywhere. Everyone always is seeking for justice, right? Some places are more than others, obviously. But in fact, yes, the legal status workers would face less difficulty than the ones that are not with a legal status, but they both would face difficulties, absolutely.
One of the struggles I think that they share is it's really a psychological like type warfare that both legal status people and not legal status people have to deal with in the workforce, in the work environment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the similarities, I think, you know, it's the constant struggle that, you know, the employer is trying to make a profit, and in most situations, they're not upfront, they're not clear about everything they do, about all the information related to the environment and stuff, for the sake of making money, for the sake of making a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And that always puts the workers at a disadvantage, you know, and that's
mm-hmm.
so sad.
Can you speak about some of the differences?
Well, some of the differences would be that legal people have a different sense when it comes to when they're wrong, you know, when their rights are not met. Legal people and with a legal status are much more likely to complain and do something and follow up on that complaint than a person who is not in legal status, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in a situation like that would normally tend not to cause so much attention to themselves, you know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
they feel like, because of their situation, that they would be somehow in a less fortunate situation.
Mm-hmm. So when you refer to people with illegal status, do you also mean including people who are working under migrant worker programs? Because there are people who are non-status who are working who might not be in migrant worker programs?
Yeah, you mean like people that are migrant workers that are
yeah,
illegal,
so they're illegal, but
they're legal, but they're not told their rights and all that stuff. Well,
yeah,
absolutely.
Can you talk more about the discriminations that you know that non-citizen workers within the construction industry face, like what kind of basic protections that they're denied, and how they're treated below second-class workers?
Well, what happens is that once a person is deemed, or their status is deemed illegal in some sort of way, if they break the law, or, you know, if they're breaking the law in some sort of way, then it makes the person more vulnerable to these sort of things to happen, like, employers trying to take advantage of them because, I mean, how can they complain? You know what I mean? Their status isn't proper for them to have the confidence to make a complaint about sometimes unfair work treatment, unfair treatment at work, or sometimes even doing stuff that's not even legal. You know what I mean? And safe, you know, for sure, safe. Most of these operations, nobody really knows what's going on. You know, small companies. And they pop up and they die off, you know, the names, sometimes they hide behind names like Ontario Limited and a bunch of digits, like, you know, 00783 4, whatever, and there's really no accountability this way, you know, so it's really partly because I believe, from my own perspective, that the rules are just a little bit outdated, you know. The system is a little bit outdated. It's a little bit behind. Like, it's got great potential for improvement, but we need to work at it. We need to change some of the things that are that were set for longer ago, you know. And we're a fast-growing society. People come in Canada every year, more and more people, you know. And so we really need the help from the government, you know, to change some of these things.
Yeah, you were touching upon how workers feel no way out and pressure to do jobs that are really dangerous, even sometimes within murderous work conditions. And that has a lot to do with because there is a high chance that they can get deported easily if they complain or they're injured at the workplace or if they complain about not getting paid well or any other complaint. They can get deported if they, because they're considered a burden on the health care systems. You know, employers don't want to spend the money to prevent or if they are injured, to treat the injury. Can you talk a bit about
denying
compensation for people who have illness or injury because of their labor?
Well, I could give you, I'll first start by telling you that a personal experience actually is from my parents when they first came to Canada in the 80s. It was hard for them, and they themselves had this, were in the same situation. They were promised to come to Canada and that they were going to have a job, and but they didn't understand that they had come here under a visitor's visas, and then they applied for refugee status here in Canada, and they were accepted. And you know, it's a legal process that doesn't really apply to the truth, but that is used to fix and to put band-aids on some of these shortcomings from the system, you know, from the real way that things should be. And but we've been landed immigrant for over 20 years now, and my sister was born here. And but back when they first came here, this is what I mean to tell. When they first got here, they didn't really know, you know, how to interact in society. And one lawyer told them that, you know, for $1,000 that he would start them a legal process, right, and give them at least work permits for the beginning, you know. And so they gave the lawyer $1,000 when all he did is hand them over to immigration, hoping that they would be deported, right, and so that they could just take their money and, you know, not do anything for them. And so this is the type of behavior that you know, an immigration lawyer was having, you know, back in that time. So if lawyers are behaving this way, imagine what criminals would behave like in an environment like this. You know, it's just, it's easy preying, you know, like, and so that's one thing.
From various people, from different ways.
Another thing is even the union I belong to Local 183. Back in 2006, there was an investigation into the operations of the union, how they were treating their members, and some of the findings that came out of the investigation were that they were exploiting illegal workers. You know, they were giving them union membership, except that the benefits that were coming to on behalf of those workers, something like pension benefits. When these workers that don't have a legal status, when they get, you know, deported, and after 4 or 5 years of working here, their immigration legal case comes to an end, and the immigration tells them that they have to go back to their country, but they've worked here for 4 or 5 years as union members, receiving benefits, you know, look, working beside people like me, and my pension credits are there, right? But what happens to theirs? That money never gets returned to the worker. You know what I mean? So that's a way of exploiting the illegal workers, and this was found in my union, and the practices continue. You know, I mean, we had a trusteeship put into place, and we have a new board of directors now. We have a new leadership in our union, but the same old practices continue, you know. And so in that sense, we don't seem to see any hope, you know. We don't seem to see any light, you know, for the future. We're still waiting for something to happen, for some sort of a government intervention, but it just hasn't happened until today.